I pray that you would bless us through this time and through this, Lord. I pray that you would let there be a blessing for our nation and the world as people turn to you. And we give you all the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the word of the Lord tonight, Joel chapter 3 and verse 14. Joel chapter 3 and verse 14. I believe that God is raising up a generation of people that are hungry after spiritual things. And it's a growing hunger that God is working, and he's wanting to use people in the gifts of the Spirit. He's wanting to use people in spiritual warfare, and he's looking for someone that would say, "Here I am, Lord, you can use me." But we need training and teaching and education about how to move into those realms and experiences, and so that's what we are looking at. We started last week, and we're going to continue on this week. Joel chapter 3, verse 14, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake. The heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Praise the Lord. Tonight we're going to look again at fighting the good fight of faith. And if you need a subtitle for this particular lesson, it is A Shaking in the Making. A Shaking in the Making. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Last week we began this teaching on the good fight of faith. Last week our subtitle was Basic Training. And we covered some basic things that are essential to remember in spiritual warfare. Tonight we're going to build on those as we go forward, but I want to make sure that we remember a few things. So in case you missed last week, I recommend that you get the CD or DVD or listen online. First of all, why do we fight the good fight of faith? Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." And so we are called. We are called to this fight. And not only does our own salvation depend on us being victorious in this fight, but the souls of others are depending on us as well. Our families, that's why we fight this fight. Our children, it's important that we win this fight. The souls of this city, that is why we fight the good fight of faith. The billions of people worldwide who have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's why we fight the good fight of faith. Ezekiel 22 and 30 tells us, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." Is there not one in Springfield that would stand in the gap? Help us, Lord. Is there not one, and I pray that it not be said that in our time, in our watch, in our responsibility, that God looked for someone to stand in the gap, and he looked for someone to fight the spiritual battle, but he found none. That's why we fight the good fight of faith. And yes, it's about our own salvation, but it's more than just making it to heaven ourselves. It's more than that, because people are hanging on us. And if we don't make it, they're not going to make it. If we don't survive, they won't survive. If we don't get victory, they'll never have victory. And so we then covered three basic principles that are foundational to understanding spiritual warfare. Number one, this was covered last week, so just a little review, but I want to make sure that you get this. Number one, there is a God. Okay, everybody got that? There is a God. Before we go any further, we have to know this. There is a God. Okay, that's number one. Number two, there is a devil. there really is a devil, all right? So there is a God and there is a devil. Amen. We've got to remember, though, that the devil is not the equal opposite of God. All right? The devil is not the equal opposite of God. Remember, God is omnipotent. He has all power. God is omniscient. He knows all things. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. The devil is not those things. All right? He is limited. And so number one, there is a God. Number two, there is a devil. All right? Amen. And then number three, man is caught in the middle. Okay? Man is caught in the middle. And so there is a God, there is a devil, and there is humanity. Humanity. Amen. And before we can win in spiritual warfare, we have to win this battle with humanity, this battle with our flesh. So there's three basic spirits, the spirit of God, the spirit of the devil, and the spirit of man. How do we know which one we're dealing with? It'd be important to know, is this God, or is this just me, or is this the devil? It's pretty important to know, but most of the time when we are praying and seeking God, and when we are submitted to God's authority in our life, when we are reading the Word of God and studying the Word, and when we have a right spirit, most of the time, the first impression that we have when we pray, that is the Spirit of God. That's usually the first impression or the first feeling that we will have. But we always back that up against the Word of God. Does this contradict the Word of God? If so, that's not the presence of God, okay? Because God will never contradict His Word. If the impression or feeling that we're getting does not line up with God's Word, if the fruit of it does not identify with the Word of God, if we're feeling hopelessness or depression or fear, those things are definitely not of God, okay? They are of the devil. Now we've got to learn not to blame the devil for everything. Okay, he's getting blamed for all kinds of stuff he didn't even do. Because a lot of times we're just dealing with humanity. It's just our flesh. And so how do we know the difference between humanity and the devil? Here is the key. We recognize the difference between the spirit of the devil and the fleshly human spirit by first getting our flesh under subjection. We've got to get our flesh under subjection. And so if we are full of the Word of God, if we have been praying, if we've been living holy and separated from the world, and if we come in contact with a spirit that we know is not the Spirit of God, then most likely it's the spirit of the devil, okay? Working through one of his various spirits that he uses to attack God's people. However, if we haven't been praying, if we haven't been living holy and separated from the world, if we're not full of the Word of God, then it's really hard to know what we're dealing with. So the key is we've got to be seeking God. We've got to be spending time in prayer. We've got to be reading the Word of God and worshiping and being faithful to church so we can fight this good fight of faith. All right, so that was a little review. Moving on to our lesson tonight. Everybody say, there's a shaking in the making. There's a shaking in the making. We are living in a time of turmoil. We are living in a time of turmoil in the world today. Let's read in Matthew chapter 24, verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences. There shall be pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. wars and rumors of wars, nation rising against nation, famines, pestilences, earthquakes. That's what we're seeing right now all around the world. We have never been more close to the coming of the Lord than this stage that we are at right now. Which also means that there has never been a more important time to fight the good fight of faith than right now. Amen. This morning I looked for just a few moments at Fox News website. And I tell you what, if you look at it all day long, you're going to be ramped up and anxious and worried. So I recommend you don't do that. Amen. But in just a few moments, coronavirus, influenza, the bottom's falling out the stock market, political turmoil. And that was just the start, okay? It's very apparent we are living in a trying time. And all of it can be summed up with one word, shaking. There is a shaking that's happening in our world. Our world is having a shaking like never before. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. There is a shaking going on, and there's not a lot that's stable right now, not a lot that we can put our trust in. The whole world is being shaken. There's chaos, there's turmoil, there's trouble. And people are experiencing a shaking in their own lives. Families are going through it. Marriages are under pressure. Young people are fighting battles never faced before. Sin is doing its best to creep into godly lives of men and women, trying to destroy what God wants to do and trying to break apart families and relationships. There is a battle going on. The things are being shaken. I wonder tonight, can anybody attest to that there is a shaking in the making? There is a shaking going on. You've been through some stuff, and it hasn't been the easiest lately. There's a battle that's raging. There's been some tense situations. You feel it in your spirit. You see it in your family. There is a shaking in the making. And a lot of Christians have the practice of blaming everything on the devil when things start going bad, and oh, the devil's just been attacking me this week, and Satan's doing this, and he's done a number on my family, and the kingdom of darkness is doing that, and Satan's, he is at work. But I believe today that a lot of what is going on in our world, in our lives, in our political and economic situation, sometimes it's things that God has allowed to come to pass to get the world ready for what he wants to do in the end time. God is returning for a church that has been called out, a church that is pure, a church that has turned away from the things of this world. And God is looking for people who are free from sin, and he's looking for people that have separated themselves from the things of this world. And I believe sometimes God allows a shaking to come to shake loose some things from our life. Because we get so wrapped up in this world, we get so wrapped up in fleshly things and things that are not going to last, things that are temporal, they are not eternal, and sometimes that shaking when it comes, it helps us to realize, hey, that's not as important as I thought it was. I'm going to lay that aside. I'm going to focus on what's real, and I'm going to focus on the Word of God. Sometimes he lets that shaking come because we've got too much that's attached to us. Things that hinder us from having revival, and things that keep us from having victory, and limit our worship, and hinder us from answering the call of God in our lives. And so sometime God, he will allow some battles to rage. He will allow some things around us to crumble so that some things are shaken off from us. Nobody likes to be shaken. Nobody in their right mind likes to go through a trial. We try to avoid pain, most of us. But I tell you today, the shaking may be the very thing that saves us because it gets our attention. It focuses us. It turns our heart back towards God. It moves us when nothing else can move us. I don't know about you today, but my prayer is, Lord, whatever you have to do to me, don't you let me be lost for eternity. For above all else, I must be saved. Lord, whatever you got to do, I've got to make it to heaven. Come on, we've got to make it to heaven. If you have to shake us, if you have to allow a trial or some pain, if we don't understand some things along the way, that's okay. But if it gets us to heaven, Lord, then let it be. For above all else, we must be saved. We've got to be saved. Hallelujah. I tell you, it's the only thing that matters in this life is our salvation. We must repent and be baptized. We must receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We must live separated from our world. We've got to live victorious, for above all else, we must be saved. I pray that God, if that's what it takes, let there be a shaking so that we'd come awake out of our slumber and we'd no longer be comfortable where we are, but a hunger would be birthed in us to be set on fire by the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, it's been too long since some were on fire spiritually. It's been too long since some were full of the Holy Ghost. It's been too long since some were producing spiritual fruit. We've been sitting in the easy chair for too long. But I tell you, there's a shaking that's coming. There's a shaking in the making. And it may be the very thing that saves us. Praise the Lord. How many of you like to eat olives? I'm going to pray for you. Oh, maybe it's because I didn't have them when I was a baby. I don't know. I remember Brooklyn as a baby. She loved little black olives, and she'd take them and she'd put them on her little fingers, and then she'd eat them off her fingers, and she every time. And I don't know. She may still do that, but. Oh, I can't stand olives. Amen. Now, I like olive oil, salad dressings, and, you know, I'm going to cook some steaks or chicken or something, we'll use some olive oil. But if you study the olive harvest, it's quite different from other harvests because they gather the olives by shaking the tree. Historically, an olive tree was shaken because they would beat it with sticks until the olives would fall, and then they would gather them up. Now machines have been developed which take hold of the tree and shake the olives loose. And then those olives are used to produce olive oil. The oil represents the anointing of God. But if we're going to get the oil, there first has to be a shaking. If we're going to have the anointing, there first has to be a shaking. Without it, that olive is totally comfortable on the tree, just doing its thing, just growing and looking pretty there. But when it's shaken from the tree, then the olive is put through the press and it produces the oil. And we can't have the anointing in our life unless there's a pressing that we first go through. When someone is mightily anointed and used in preaching or Bible teaching or singing, whatever it might be, they didn't get that way by accident. It didn't happen overnight. But when someone has the anointing upon them so strong, we know that's a person who's been through the press. They've experienced some shaking in their life. They've had a few battles. They've had to fight their way through. They've had to endure some things. But it was the press that brought the oil. It was the circumstance that brought the anointing. It didn't just happen overnight, but there's the process of the press. And the anointing flows to break the yoke. And God anoints us through the pressures of life. And the things that make us pray are the things that give us power. The things that bring us to our knees are the things that produce strength in us. Things that shake us make the way for God's anointing in our life. God's not looking for people who want to just stay comfortable. God's not looking for people who are content in their flesh, just coasting along the lazy river of life. But God is looking for someone who will rise to the challenge. If you feel like you've been shaken, if you feel like you're going through the trial, if you feel like you're going through the press, it could be that God has allowed some things to shake you because of the anointing that it's going to produce in your life. Hallelujah. Romans 8:28 tells us, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. God saw ahead through time, and he saw the shaking before it ever came in our life. And he knew the pain that it would cause. He knew the discomfort that it would bring in us. But he also saw the good that it would produce. And the good outweighed the bad. The good outweighed the bad, because all things work together for good to them who love God. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the shaking. Thank God for the press, because it's producing some good in you. It's producing an anointing in your life. It's producing the work of God. Hallelujah. It's a good fight of faith. I want to tell you, it's worth it. Keep on fighting. Keep being faithful. Keep trusting God, because we're going to come through the shaking with the Lord's help. And we're going to be stronger and more anointed, and we're going to win in the end. Praise the Lord. So there's a few things we need to understand as we fight this good fight of faith. Okay? Number one, everyone say, for new levels, there are new devils. For new levels, there are new devils. If we're going to grow in God, if we're going to grow as a church, if we're going to experience new victories and greater miracles, then we can't expect to stay at the same level we've been at for years. No matter how long we've been living for the Lord, there's always room to grow. But in order to go to new levels, we've got to be willing to fight some new devils. This is a war. It's not a game. And the enemy wants to take us out. He doesn't play fair. He doesn't give up easily. But he can be defeated if we're willing to pay the price. But we have to remember, for every new level, there are new devils. Amen. Somebody, you need to just thank God for the new devils in your life. Don't look at the person next to you, but thank God if you're experiencing some new battles in the spirit. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm not thankful for those things. Be thankful for evidence that you're progressing. Be thankful that there's some evidence that you're reaching new levels and new experiences, and God is calling you higher, and it's a proven fact that there's a new level attack that you're experiencing. Sometimes it catches us by surprise. And we think we're backslid because of the struggle, and we must have failed God, or else we wouldn't have to be fighting like this, when actually the new battle that we are facing, it may just be the evidence of a new level that God wants to bring us to. And in order for us to have dominion at that level, we've got to win the battle with some new devils that we've never experienced before. And so that's the first principle to remember tonight. For new levels, there are new devils. The second is this: the angels are talking. Turn to somebody and tell them, the angels are talking. God created the angels. The angels do the work of God, whatever it is that he wants them to do. And through proper study of the Word of God, we know that there's different types of angels. The Bible speaks of mighty angels. I believe in guardian angels, ministering angels, archangels, cherubims, seraphims. God created the angels. They are his creation. And we need to remember, we do not worship angels. Okay? We do not worship angels. We don't worship the creation. We worship the Creator. Amen. Now, there was an angel called Lucifer. And we read in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." In Revelation, Lucifer is described as the dragon. And you can read that it says that his tail drew with him a third part of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. In Revelation 12, verse 7, it says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." So consider this with me tonight. The angels were all made by God. One third of them fell with Lucifer and became fallen angels. Angels dwell in a spiritual dimension. In Job, we read how Satan, he went before the throne of God. And so it follows then that fallen angels still understand the dimension of the spirit that heavenly angels still operate in. Okay, it's another dimension. We don't see that dimension. We sometimes it's revealed to us, sometimes we feel it, but we're in a fleshly dimension here, but that's another spiritual dimension. But angels, whether they're the angels of God or the fallen angels, they are in that spiritual dimension. When Jacob was fleeing for his life in the Old Testament, he stops in a place called Bethel for the night. In Genesis 28:12, it says, "He dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it." And so angels are going about the business of the work that God has for them to do. They minister to the saints. They bring the blessings of God. They minister in church service. They fight for God's people and for God's purposes and all of these things that God has them do. Now, let's consider that perhaps God has a blessing for our lives. He's determined, I'm going to pour out a blessing in their life. And so God assigns a few angels to the task of bringing about the blessing, whatever it is, bringing that to us. It's not here just yet, but it's on the way. If the angels know about this, and if they're talking about it amongst themselves in that other realm, in that other dimension, then doesn't it naturally follow that the fallen angels who dwell in that same dimension could pick up on some things that God is about to do? Future blessings and victories that are about to be poured out for God's people. And if they pick up on those blessings that are coming, well, just due to their nature, they're determined to do everything they can to stop or disrupt or disturb, to destroy what God is going to do. And so the next time we are in a spiritual battle, we need to remember this. The angels are talking. The angels are talking about the good things that God has in store for us. It hasn't all come to pass, but the blessing is on the way. Amen. The blessing is coming, and all of hell is focused on stopping the work of God. And we're in the middle of this battle. And so just because there is an attack against our soul, it doesn't mean that necessarily we're in sin or that we're displeasing God or that we're necessarily out of His will. It may just mean that the angels have been talking about the good things that God has in store for us. And those fallen angels have picked up on it, and they're doing everything they can to discourage us and to distract us and to stop us from what God is wanting to do. The angels are talking. Third, tonight, we need to remember warfare always surrounds the birth of a miracle. Warfare always surrounds the birth of a miracle. It happened when Moses was born. After Jesus Christ was born, Herod decreed that all the babies under a certain age were to be killed. Warfare always surrounds the birth of a miracle. If it's been more difficult for you lately, don't you dare give up. It may just mean that you're closer to the miracle than you ever have been before. Blind Bartimaeus wanted a miracle. But the closer he got to the one who could do the miracle, everybody around him tried to shut him up. Amen. Somebody here needs to realize that hell has discovered the favor of God that is upon your life, and the attack that you're going through, the trial that you're in, the battle that you are facing is because hell is doing everything it can to prevent the miracle from taking place in your life. The angel told Daniel in the Old Testament, he said, I was sent the first day you prayed, and now I'm just getting here 24 days later. Why was that? He said, because the prince of the kingdom of Persia, not an earthly prince, but a principality, okay, the prince over the kingdom, a demonic force, the prince over the kingdom of Persia had withstood him for 21 days. But the angel made it through, and warfare always surrounds the birth of a miracle. How desperate are we for the miracle in our life? How desperate are we for the miracle in our church, in our city, in our situation? Come on, how bad do we want it? If we're not real serious about it, then it's probably not going to happen, because we aren't willing to pay the price. But if we're serious about this, and if we're willing to go through the battle, and if we're willing to pay a price, then we can receive the great miracle that God has for us. But we've got to always remember, warfare always surrounds the birth of a miracle. One more principle we need to remember tonight is this: Satan attacks us on the level of our destiny. Satan attacks us on the level of our destiny. You ever been going through something and it just seems like the level of the attack against you is way more intense than what you feel like you're able to handle? It just seems like all of hell has been unleashed against you. And in your own eyes, you think, well, I'm nobody. Why in the world would he send the big guns after me? I'm not anything special. And it seems overwhelming because we're not being attacked at the level that we're on. We're being attacked at the level that we're going to. Satan attacks us on the level of our destiny. He knows our potential, and he knows the damage that we can cause to his kingdom if we fully develop in the will that God has for us. And so he doesn't just try to take us out for what we're doing right now, but he tries to take us out for the potential of what God has in store for our future. He attacks us on the level of the destiny that God has for us. That's why I know God's hand is on some of you, because the level of attack is so intense, it takes you by surprise and you think, why me? Why am I going through this? Why am I struggling like this? It's because God has something special for you, and the enemy knows it. He's trying to stop it before it ever happens. The important thing is, we've got to remember, God knows the end from the beginning. And if God has allowed us to go through this level of attack, it's because he has faith in us that we will make it through. And so don't be overwhelmed. Don't be in fear. Keep walking in faith. Keep trusting in God. If God has faith in you to let you go through that, then we can make it. So remember these principles about spiritual warfare. For every new level, there are new devils. The angels are talking. Warfare always surrounds the birth of a miracle. And Satan attacks us on the level of our destiny. There is an all-out war that's going on for our families, for our children, for our church. Everything we have stood for as Christians is coming under attack. It's not popular today to believe that marriage is just between a man and a woman like the Bible teaches. It's not politically correct to teach that homosexuality is wrong, that it's a sin. It's not popular to teach that anything's a sin, really. It's not easy to stand for what's right and to stand against what's wrong. There's a shaking at every hand. We are in a war, and we've got to learn how to fight. But how do we protect ourselves? How do we combat the things that we're coming up against? Psalms 141, 144 and 1 says, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight." Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Ephesians 6 teaches us to take on the whole armor of God. So we are in a war, okay? We are in a spiritual war. And there comes a time that we've talked about it long enough, we've taught about it, we've preached about it, we've read enough books on it, and sometimes we've got to just stop talking about it, and we've got to quit tiptoeing around the subject. And there comes a time that they just say it like this: you either got to put up or you got to shut up. And I believe we're entering into a time of warfare, and we're pressing in through some spiritual battles, because there is a victory that is shortly ahead for this church. And so that's why we're doing this series on fighting the good fight of faith. We're going to be looking at some prayers that we need to be praying, and how to identify and pray against certain spirits, and how to protect ourselves and our families when we're moving into intercession, and looking at specific things we need to be doing in this time of spiritual warfare. But before we go to war, we have to make sure we have some basic things, and we've got to be sure that we have a right foundation. Have to learn how to deny the flesh and how to lean on the Spirit. We have to be sure that we prepared ourselves before even leaving for the battlefield. And so here tonight in closing, I want to give you 7 things that we need if we're going into war. 7 things that we need if we're going into war. Number 1, prayer and the Word. Prayer and the Word. In Acts 6 and 4, the apostles, they determined they're not going to focus on anything, on all the other issues that bogged them down, but rather they're going to focus on that which was most important. They said, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word." Philippians 4 and verse 6, "Be careful for nothing." Be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. James 5:16, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." We need to know the Word if we're going to enter into spiritual warfare. Jesus, he showed this in Matthew chapter 4. Verse 1, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone.' Jesus said unto him, 'It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.' Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, 'All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me.' Then saith Jesus unto him, 'Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.' Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." If we're going to fight the good fight of faith, then we better know the Word of God, because that is our weapon. That is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. We've got to know the Word of God, so when the enemy comes at you with a lie from the pit of hell, you can turn right back and say, "No, thus saith the Word of God." Hallelujah, hallelujah. So we're going to go into spiritual warfare, we've got to be praying, and we've got to know the Word of God. That's where we receive our strength. And secondly, the new birth. We must be living with a new birth experience. We've got to be living a repented life. We must be born of the water and of the Spirit. We've got to have the Holy Ghost if we're going to move into spiritual warfare, okay? That goes without saying, but there's some that perhaps do not have the gift of the Holy Spirit, and they need that because they don't have the power to face the battles in themselves. Acts 1 and 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Amen. You need that power. John 14 and 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. 1 Corinthians 12 and 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. If we're going to live in spiritual victory, and if we're going to enter into spiritual warfare, we've got to have the new birth experience, and it needs to be a fresh experience where we repent frequently and we let God cleanse us of any sin, and where we're full of the Spirit, full of the Holy Ghost, and we're led of the Spirit of God. Number three, we've got to have faith. Got to have faith. We've got to walk by faith. We've got to speak faith. It's a faith-shaking day. This is a faith-shaking day. That's the nature of the hour that we're living in. It is a faith-shaking day. Hebrews 11 and 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11 and 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. You got to have faith, folks. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We've got to have faith. Number four, patience. Patience. Galatians 6 and 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Isaiah 40 and 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. This fight is not for the impatient. But if we will learn to wait upon the Lord, if we will learn to keep faithful through tough times, if we will learn to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we will make it. We will come through. Number five, we've got to have a spiritual mind. Romans 8 and 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. A carnal mind brings death. It's the enemy of God. If we are in the flesh, we can't please God. And we will certainly get ourselves into trouble if we launch into spiritual warfare in our flesh. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We have to take control of the influences that are coming into our lives. What goes in affects what comes out. If we're digesting a steady diet of the Word of God, of prayer, of church attendance and spiritual things, then we're going to be producing spiritual fruit. But if we're just ingesting a steady diet of the world, the works of the flesh, the latest movies from Hollywood, all of the latest music, if we associate ourselves constantly with those who are carnally minded, then we've set ourselves up for trouble. Just hang around someone who is carnally minded, it starts to rub off. We've got to be mindful of this, that if we're carnally minded, we're going to bring death. But God, help us to be spiritually minded. And then number six, self-denial. Luke 9 and 23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. We can't accomplish the spiritual work we're supposed to do through our flesh. We can't heal anyone in our flesh. We can't fill anybody with the Holy Ghost. We can't deliver anybody ourselves, but the Spirit of God through us can do anything if our flesh has been denied. The disciples tried to cast out a demon and they were unsuccessful, and they came to Jesus and wondered why they couldn't do it. Reading in Matthew 17 and 20, and Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Fasting. I pray that we're fasting. We start out the year with prayer and fasting, but it should go on all year long. Amen. Some of you, I understand, have medical situations and you're limited in what you can do. But those of you that can't, we need to be fasting. We need to fast at least one day a week. Fast from dinner time one day to dinner time the next day. Or if you want to do it differently, but try to do what you can. If you're medically, if you're taking medicine and different things, you might have to get creative and do something different. But you need to be fasting. That is where we deny our flesh. That's where the Spirit becomes stronger. And several times throughout the year, we need to do more than just a day at a time. We need to spend time seeking the face of God, seeking His direction. Number 7, vision. Proverbs 29 and 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. We've got to have the right vision. We've got to keep things in the right perspective. We've got to focus on things above and not things in the earth around us. Praise the Lord. So, if we're going to go to war, spiritual war, we need to have prayer in the Word. We've got to have the new birth experience. We've got to have faith, patience, a spiritual mind, self-denial, and we've got to have vision. Vision. Would you stand with me in closing tonight? Praise the Lord. There is a shaking in the making. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. But I believe there's some men and women of God here tonight that are preparing themselves to accomplish the work of God in the last days. You're getting your foundation right. You're preparing for battle. You're determined you're going to make it. You're seeking God's direction and His will. Praise the Lord. Psalms 144 and 1 again. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Lord, teach our hands and our fingers to war, to fight. Teach us the things of the Spirit, to fight the good fight of faith. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 27. And this word, yet once more, signifying the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. In other words, it's saying everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. But there is a kingdom that cannot be moved. Amen. It's the kingdom of God. And in the midst of a world that is shaking, in the midst of a world full of chaos and turmoil and trouble, our hope is in the God of heaven of whom we serve. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. There is a shaking in the making, but God has given us the keys to be victorious. Think about that little olive. Its world is totally shaken apart when that tree begins to shake. The safety and the security and the comfort is gone, and then it goes into the press. It's not a fun experience, but that's what it takes to produce the oil. And that's what produces the anointing in our lives. There's a shaking in the making, but God is preparing us to do His work. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can we just ask God to help us, to speak to our hearts, help us to receive that and apply this in our life. Lord God, I thank You for Your word and Your presence here tonight. I thank You for Your spirit. I thank You for the power of how You are moving in us and what You are doing. And God, You are preparing us for something great. Lord, I know there's been a shaking in the lives of Your people here tonight. I know that there's been turmoil and there's been trials and there's been trouble along the way. But God, I believe You are preparing us. Lord, You are using that shaking. You are using that press to produce something great in our lives. I pray, Lord, that You would help us to be wise after spiritual things, Lord. I pray that You would increase our wisdom. Teach us, Lord, to war spiritually. Teach us to fight spiritually, to fight the good fight of faith. I pray that You'd help us to learn this, God, as You call us higher, as You call us forward, God, so that we can see Your work done through us and in us. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God, encourage somebody right now. Lord, they may have been fighting an attack against them that has been so strong lately, but I pray that You would encourage them right now. Help them to know, Lord, it's because they're taking new territory. It's because, God, You are calling them to a higher level. Oh, God, I praise You for what You are going to do and how You're going to bring them through for the future, for the potential that You are bringing about in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you tonight. I believe that God is preparing us for something great. Amen. So let's go forward with faith. Amen. Don't panic. Don't panic. Trust God. We're going to make it. God bless you.